Welcome to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred peoples are the true Israel of Scriptures. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mark Downey, and today's message is called Christian Terrorism 101. Well, you don't hear this subject of terrorism and Christianity combined together too often in Sunday school sermons. That's because, for the most part, churches have become pacifist and are no longer militant as they once were. Christian terrorism, if I can coin this phrase, is a continuing theme of messages I've been giving since 9/11. And I believe today is September 1st. We're nearing the one-year anniversary of that incident. Well, there is a war being waged against the white race in order to destroy Christianity once and for all. It is incumbent upon us, therefore, to recognize why this fact is important for us. Today, I know people live very busy lives, and it's not easy to sift through all the information and assimilate it into an understandable resolve of what to do about it, because it affects our lives. The Antichrist factions have been working hard for years legislating against Christian ethics and morality. They say you can't legislate morality, but it sure seems to me that they're doing everything to legislate immorality. It's no longer just hate crime laws, which only white people can commit, don't you know? But it's now the oxymoron, the law called the Patriot Act, which really doesn't have anything to do with patriots. It has to do with traitors within our government, which could make the white Christian man in this country terrorist. Why do you suppose that would be? Well, probably because there are so many hook-nosed Edomites in Washington District of Criminals that are more familiar with the Bible than the sheeple of churchianity. They know there is a remnant of true Israelites who still read, believe, and obey the Scriptures, and that makes us dangerous, especially in Christian identity, because we have a penchant for identifying things. I just recently read that the change agents, which most people call teachers in the public schools, are referring to our founding fathers as terrorists because they used guns. And they used guns because they were Christians. Today's message is the result of a debate that I've been engaged in this last week with an older retired military man. The issue was first triggered by a picture in a news story of two ugly bearded Orthodox Jew queer rabbis holding hands getting married. You can't imagine a more repugnant sign of the times. Now, a young Christian identity lad, seeing this vile, satanic filth, asked, "What can be done?" He says, "This abomination stirs the heart and spirit of God's people. It seems that most of us just sit around and bitch and moan about this sort of garbage, and others say, well, just pray about it. But what about those few of us who would like to do something about it? God has often used His chosen men to literally fight against the enemies of His godly people. He mentions Luke 22:36, where Jesus told His disciples to sell their garment and buy a sword. Today's equivalent would be a gun. He goes on to say, does this kind of talk scare or frighten you? Then this message is not for you. Now, I know that right off the bat, when I started discussing this with the older retired military man, that he confused what I was advocating as something that included everybody. And as this young man whom I just quoted is talking about the few good men that God is looking for. How can any of us in the Christian identity community not empathize with this young man's frustration? The problem stems from leadership that makes God's word of none effect, in my humble opinion. Time after time, I've seen these men of Israel balk at golden opportunities to press an issue and capitalize on a mass movement to do something, to change things around. But there's this insidious spirit of defeatism and an unwillingness to make commitments. Leaderless resistance is fine for your own backyard. But leaderless identity nationally is the water that douses the flame of Jacob Israel, the white race, to fulfill our destiny. It is not good enough to know who you are, which is where those who have something to lose want to stop and go no further. No, sir. To whom much is given, much is required. Once we know who we are, we must then learn our responsibilities. The debate I've been having the last week goes directly to the intent of Romans 13, because that's where the terrorism enters the picture. It's really this simple. Either good people or evil people are going to be terrorized by those enforcing law. Now, the law can either be God's or man's. What is so disturbing to me is the idea that Romans 13 could be so misunderstood as to imply that we, the people, are to subject ourselves to any form of government that happens to be king of the hill for the moment, and that we are to obey it no matter what. It's hard to believe that any elders in the Christian identity movement would swallow such a warped view of how we as Christians relate to government. But it's almost as if there's this dharma of Hinduism to tolerate and accept the status quo. Identity Hindus who are causing as much damage as the mantra of separation of church and state, any honest researcher knows that Jefferson or the Founding Fathers were not advocating a separation of God and government. The bottom line to all of this is violence. Let's just awaken Israel from the slumber and let God take care of the bad guys, say the no-do Hindus of our movement. Meanwhile, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Matthew 11:12. We know that those who call good evil and evil good are propping themselves up as the higher powers ordained of God in Romans 13. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. And General George Washington and the Sons of Liberty became Christian terrorists to the evil redcoats who would not have Christ to reign over them. The colonial revolutionist would have little patience for the reversal of what Romans 13 means. As the old colonel who I'm debating would have us believe that we are to obey the secular powers who are not promoting the kingdom or anything that would apply to white Christians. In fact, he says the purpose of these rulers over us, no matter what they look like or do, which could be these Jewish faggots, no doubt, is to stop those who want to destroy them, people like me. Because he says God put them in charge. Well, nothing could be more absurd. Now, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that the remnant of Israelite men who have not been Judaized or wiggered still have the laws of God written in their hearts and minds to rid our land of Antichrist.
Praise God.
Now, this is not a coming Antichrist sometime in the future. It's right now and has been for the last 2,000 years. The question I posed for debate was, is it time for judgment? Judgment is the execution of God's law. Half of Christendom has been hoodwinked into thinking that the laws of God were nailed to the cross by bleeding heart liberals who realized really there's only two means of punishment according to the Bible: restitution and death. But thinking themselves more loving than God, they give sin a free pass. And the democratically elected rulers, or the republicrats of vote scam that allows them to rule, those people become a terror to good works. This will get progressively worse until things go full circle, going from freedom to slavery. And you have a revolution because the social condition is revolting. Pastor Pete Peters wrote a book called America the Conquered way back in 1991, for crying out loud, over a decade ago. And those debating me are saying it is not time for us to go to war in our own country, they say that we have to wait. They use the parable of the wheat and the tares and say the tare is not yet mature. And if it was, it wouldn't be us doing the reaping. It would be angels from heaven. Now, an angel is just a messenger and can be from outer space, which is God's abode, which is the commonly accepted venue, or it can be people right here on earth. Well, I'm asking you in this message, just how many tares in government does it take to declare the fulfillment of Matthew 13:41? Jesus shall send forth his messengers to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity. And in verse 42, they will be cast into the furnace of fire. Why do you suppose the Lord says, Jacob shall be a fire and Esau for stubble? Obadiah 18. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day I appointed, saith the Lord. Malachi 4:3. And there's many more scriptures that confirm that it is white Christian warriors that will heed the call to arms when it is time. Is it time? Or do we wait for the Pax Judaica, where every Antichrist Jew has 2,000 goyim slaves? Do we wait for the decriminalization of pedophiliacs so that they can have their pride parades in the smallest towns of the heartland of America? Look at how federally forced integration from the 1960s on has blossomed into the new millennium. If we have been conquered for more than 10 years with a steady decline in resistance to these conquerors, isn't it time to fight back now in full faith and knowledge that our Lord and Savior will bless us and deliver us from this enemy as he did with the American Revolution? Would God sanction the Minuteman of today? I believe the Lord not only approves, but he expects and demands actions to cleanse the land of all the offensive abominations that curse his people. Some people will falsely accuse me of operating as a Christian without any license from God. However, their problem is not really with me. It's with the divine mandate. I'm just a messenger of the ancient oracles. We were given a Second Amendment, which coincides, by the way, with Luke 22:36, which I mentioned earlier. We were given both of these for one primary purpose, and that was to bear arms whenever any form of government becomes destructive of our God-given rights. We then employ our God-given responsibilities. As God's servant people, we serve the common good of a free state. It's true that we become what we're committed to. When people acquiesce to a Bill Clinton saying, we will not tolerate intolerance, it is time to follow the intolerant God of Israel. Let me tell you something. This occult chicanery of 9/11 is justification for judgment against the real terrorist. What strikes terror in the hearts and minds of Mystery Babylon is the Christian with a will and commitment to fight. For it is written, they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17:14. And in Revelation 18:7, continuing this thought, these kindred are told to give the wicked so much torment and sorrow. The enemy would like very much for you special Christians to sit back in your comfort zone with a bag of potato chips and do nothing. But the time for castration is over. It's over because the sign of the times is upon us. I was driving my truck down the road the other day. God gave me a sign. It was a church reader board that said, under God or under Satan, the choice is yours. This sermon message is an exercise in free speech and is not intended for entertainment purposes. The good old bumper sticker, God, guns, and guts, is not just a redneck cliche. It is at the core of divine justice. I pray that you may find it now. And don't let anybody tell you it's not time for God to do a miracle through us. Hail Jesus the Christ, praying our Arian benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of the white race, and I will bless them. Amen.